Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
There's so many firsts. I want to say I love how many people are visible at this meeting. I go to a lot of meetings that have 25 people or so, and 5 people are on screen. And, you know, that's no diss to the people who aren't on screen. Everybody has different stuff going on. People have work, whatever it is, they're in the cars. That's fine. There's times when I can't be on screen, but I love being able to see and feel like a little more interaction. So I really appreciate it. And you're all very beautiful. I just feel so much like there's just so much, I'm speechless. I am rendered speechless, which will be a problem because I'm supposed to speak for another 17 minutes. The other first that I want to say is I was kind of taken aback that the language was not changed for food. It was alcoholic, alcohol, alcohol, alcoholic in that 12-step recitation. And I love it, but I find it really interesting because as a newcomer, I would have been a little bit like, what the hell is going on here? So I'd like to say to the newcomer, when I first came in, which was 29 years ago, I can't add, it's 28 or 29, that I was very put off by the big book. I found a lot. I was looking for the differences. I was looking for the differences and I found them. And I was like, especially particular chapters that I was like, oh my God, this is so dated. And so, you know, whatever. And now, and not even now, like within a year, I was like, I love this book so goddamn much. And I'm sorry, I'm a bit of a cursor, a swearer. So, I take it or leave it. So when I hear it and it's very easy for me to go like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic with food. That's it. The only difference is, and it's a big one, is I have to, you know, walk the tiger 3 times a day. And alcoholics are very clear on what is sobriety and what is not. So that was a little more challenging coming in. But I love hearing it. And I also want to say to the newcomers, like, take what you want and leave the rest. That includes my share. If my share does nothing for you, fine. I do not care. I cared a lot when I first came in, but right now it's like, this is not about me. This is about you guys and your recovery. And the newcomer is the most important person at this meeting by far. I have about 28 or 29 years of recovery from compulsive overeating, which for me was binging, skipping meals. I was a restrictor. I skipped meals and then I binged late at night to make up, you know, and then I skipped meals to make up for it. Don't recommend it. Don't recommend the feeling at the end of the night of pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, that feeling like I'm not going to do this again tomorrow and then doing it again. So I came in. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on what it was like before I came in. I was a lonely child. We moved around a lot. Food was comfort. Food was given to me by my mother for comfort. She used it for comfort. It got me through tough times that weren't all that tough. If I look at them, they were just, I was lonely and it was a sad house. It was a sad and tense house. Nobody was physically violent. Nobody hurt me in that way, but I felt like I wasn't allowed to. I didn't have the consciousness to feel like I wasn't allowed to have emotions. I learned that later, but I felt like I was allowed to feel okay or nothing. And I heard someone in AA, I heard a good friend of my, one of my best friends is in AA, and she said something about this disease is a disease of censorship. And I really got that. I really feel that. I censored my emotions and it's still challenging for me to feel them. So anyway, I, you know, had a history up until I was 31 of using food for comfort, using food to numb out, using food when I felt good, using food when I felt bad, using food when I felt anxious. And I really want to center on the holiday season because that's what I'm in right now. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in the holiday season. I don't want to speak for anyone else. But I came in right before Halloween. It was like October 17th is my birthday. And I came in probably October 10th or something, and or 12th. And it was a shock to me to learn what abstinence was. And I was like, oh no, oh no, I can't do this now because Halloween is coming. And that's my day. That's the day I get to binge in front of people instead of by myself because nobody cares and nobody notices. So I was like, I'll be back. But then I was being obedient to an outside person, my Eskimo, who was like, try six meetings. And after the second meeting, I was like, oh, I'm in the right place and I need to learn what this is. And I got a sponsor immediately. I would not have picked her. I would have not picked anyone because you were all human beings. And I had some serious perfectionism issues and human beings aren't perfect. So that wouldn't have worked. But she came to me and she said, I'll be your temporary sponsor. She was my sponsor for 10 years. And she was a big book thumper. And she got me working the steps immediately. And as soon as I had to be honest with another person, didn't really believe in God at that point, but I had to be honest with another person about my food, it cleaned up. I'd never been honest before. About a lot of things, but about my food particularly. So it cleaned up. And I was very grateful that I was struck abstinent. I was not struck spiritual. That's not true. I came into the rooms and felt the higher power in the rooms. That was my higher power for quite a while. I felt the honesty and the vulnerability in those rooms, which I didn't share. I was not being particularly vulnerable in my chairs. I was like, I didn't even admit I was a newcomer in my first meeting. I was like, fuck that. I'm not telling you people anything about me. But I never got a newcomership. I never admitted any of that. But when I sat in those rooms and I heard everybody else, I felt like that, like my elbows. These are not elbows. These are shoulders. My shoulders went down. And I could breathe for that hour or that hour and a half. I could breathe. And I was like, well, that's a power greater than myself. And I kept coming back. And then my concept of a higher power changed to sort of encompass everything and everyone in the universe makes up a higher power for me. Because I couldn't conceive of like a higher power that was like, you're good and you're bad and you get this and you don't get that. Because then I was like, sorry?
10 minutes.
That was 10? Wow. Okay.
So you have 10 minutes left.
Oh, 10 minutes left. Okay. Thank you. And then, so for me, it was like more like a river, and it is more like a river. Like I either go with the river and it's easy, or I fight the river and it's hard. So I'm lazy. I'd rather go with the river. I like easy. I like it to be smooth. And there's plenty of times I fight it. There are plenty of times that I fight my higher power, the concept of it. But when I relax, when I take it easy, when I live and let live, life is so much easier, right? So I came in, I worked the steps quickly. I do not recommend taking your time. That's just me. The four step especially, that is a slog and a swamp that I do not need to spend any extra time in. Just do it. I did it really badly the first time around. It was really short and it was really not that open and honest and willing, but it was something. I did it many times since then. And it was the best I could do the first time around. And it was a lot. It was a lot to admit, even at that point, because I was such a defensive, self-absorbed, selfish person. And I'm not judging myself for that. I'm still all of those things. For me, this is a selfish program because it makes me feel better to work it. That's it. So, I do stuff that makes me feel good. It's just different stuff makes me feel good these days. I had this memory before the meeting started of right at the beginning of my program. I was with my friend who's in another program, and we were at lunch, and I was looking at the menu, and I was like, here's the thing. For me, the answers to the universe are in here if I get it right. And if I get it wrong, I'm screwed. And I have to do it again till I get it right. And she had no understanding. Like, you know, it's a different program. She just was like, this is the menu, you know? And even tonight, like, I made dinner and there was something that didn't turn out well. And the first instinct is like, oh, I got to get this right. I got to redo. And then it's like, oh, honey, you're nuts. You don't get a do-over because one part of your dinner wasn't to your satisfaction. Like, let it go. I mean, if I were hungry, certainly, but I'm not hungry. I'm full. I can start again tomorrow. I can not eat what's left of that weird food tomorrow. the way it turned out. Okay. So holidays, I used to go to parties, and the way that, people who drink would drink for the first 20 minutes of a party. And like, you know, people who really drink the first 20 minutes until they're comfortable. That's what I would do with food. I would stand at the food table and I would just until I felt comfortable. And apologies to the people who've heard this before. I've shared this before. I realized in my abstinence going to those parties, oh, everybody's just uncomfortable for the first 20 minutes. Like that's just, or at least I am. That's just the way it is. It's hard being in a social situation. And after 20 minutes, something happens and I drop in. Like, or I don't. And then I can, you know, take off if it's a really terrible experience, but I drop in. And the first 20 minutes I now spend being of service. And some parties, being of service is just being fun, being a good time, being friendly to people, finding the person no one's talking to and talking to them, going to clean up in the kitchen, going to serve in the kitchen. I've been mistaken for like catering people so often because I'm like cleaning up stuff or serving stuff. Like, and it's then I get comfortable and then I'm able to have interactions. And I found that a really good method of participating in the stream of life. Like, I don't eat for the first 20 minutes at a party. Sometimes I have to look at my watch and go, has it been 20 minutes yet? Has it been 20 minutes? Because that looks really good and it's going to run out. And that's okay. And I'm really grateful that, like, that first Halloween that I went to as an abstinent person, I was like, oh, people go to parties to have fun, like, not to just be high, because I would get high on sugar. I would get high on salt and fat, whatever it was. And I could be high on life. I'm so cheesy. And so also I realized during the holidays, like I work in a business where there's a lot of events. a lot of work events, and a lot of like food, sort of as a lure. Like they'll have an event and a screen and a reception to like get you to go. And I realized not as early on as I should have, but I realized, oh, I can't go if I'm not there to be of service. I can't go if it's for the food. That is not for me. And that's hard because sometimes there's really nice restaurants involved that I cannot afford otherwise, but it's not for me. Just like, you know, when I worked at a place that had lots of junk food, that food was not for me. I could go across the street. I could call my sponsor, tell her I was going to 7-Eleven, buy the exact same food, and she'd be like, fine. But the food for free and that was unconscious is not for me. It has to be conscious. Because to be, for me, an abstinent woman of dignity is to be a conscious person in as many ways as possible. So what I do now and what I've done for years is around the holiday season, I call my sponsor, my second sponsor, I've had her for 18 years, and say, I'm going to call you from now on if I'm going to have dessert at an event. Because I have one item I don't eat because I ate about a billion of them. And I'm like, I used that. It's sort of like alcohol. Like I used that, I used up that privilege. That is not for me anymore. But anything else, thank you. Anything else is moderation. Because I am, for whatever reason, able to do it in moderation. But if I don't call her, it becomes unconscious. And I noticed that one year. I was like, oh, look at those little, they're so little. These little appetizers, so little. And I would say, I have to call you if I'm going to eat something. And she's like, sure, I don't care. She doesn't care if I call her every day with stupid, you know, saying ridiculous things. But I can't text. I have to call because texting is really easy in a party. Calling, you have to leave or you have to go somewhere quiet. You have to, you know, or do it in front of someone. Like, hi, I'm going to eat this. And it makes me eat it less. It makes me eat less. Because it becomes conscious. Do I really want to call her every time I'm going to do this? Am I really going to call her that often? You know, it's humbling. So for me, what it's like today is I'm back to doing those calls and I'm back to being conscious and making choices. And again, if I see something and I'm like, I really want that, I can go buy it. I really love free food. Oh my God. It's a glutton thing. It's a greed thing. I don't know what it is, but I really love free food. And so I can go buy it for myself. And I never do. That's the thing. I never do. So I don't care what trick gets me through the evening. I employ it. And then, you know, in the last minute and a half or whatever I have, I do want to talk about like what I do in this program. I work all the steps periodically. I'm back again. I'm on step 3 in the new OA 12 and 12, which I love. I love that book. If anyone hasn't got it yet, oof, isn't it wonderful? It's just so much better. I mean, God bless the old one. It got me, you know, saved my life, but the new one, the language is beautiful. And so it's such a joy to go through it with her. And I'm doing it very slowly. Frida would, okay. Someone would like to control my camera. I wake up, I do the serenity prayer, third step prayer, seventh step prayer. And during the seventh step prayer, I think about what's up, almost always what's up is cowardice that I'd like to replace with courage, fear with faith, anger with love, anger with peace, hatred with love. And impatience with patience, and then send it off. And then at the end of the night, I make up a gratitude list, 10 things I'm grateful for that day. Try not to do the same things every day. And also sort of a mini 10, if there's something I did that I feel like creepy about or icky about, I'll wrap it up. And I'll call my sponsor and turn it over because I can't afford secrets. I can't afford to be in that creepy basement keeping my secrets. That's where my binges will go. That's where I'll start up again. So thank you so much for letting me share. I hope that was useful to somebody.